Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, changing the way that we're listening to the world and that we're experiencing the world. And if we're believing in the world, this is January 23rd, 2024. So welcome back to 1-2 Radio. I know many of you were on 1-2 Radio anyway, listening to all those encores during the last month. And truthfully, it was just like kind of a strange place. I was just listening to Kat's show, and she was talking about that this is the first time she's ever been off the air for 4 weeks in a row. And I was thinking, you know what? It is for me too. I mean, I've taken a few vacations, but this is just really, really different. But you know what? Different is good. We need to adjust to doing something in a slightly different way. And it was, for me, very strange to be off the air. I mean, I felt like my schedule kind of, you know, goes around all these, you know, established appointments and these established times that I do things. But it was really nice to be able to have a little more time with my family and also just to be a little less structured with my time. Because truthfully, if there's one thing I could do in my life, it's probably not be quite so structured. You know, not thinking that things just have to run along a track in a certain way. So thank you. I hope you had wonderful holidays. I hope you did enjoy listening to some of the encores. And thanks for coming back today. And speaking of which, meet me in the chat room. It's over on Facebook. You know, we have a private 1-2 Radio group. And I'm not always so good with Facebook. I've got it up right now, but I'm not sure I've got it on the right. You know, I'll need to fool with that a little bit to make sure that I can see your comments, because I hope you will make some comments today, because some of the stuff we're going to be talking about, you might be going, what? And even if we don't get it all clear, at least you can tell me that you need a little more help, or yeah, that makes sense. So meet me over in the chat room. And one more announcement before we really get started today, and that is if you missed any of those 2024 prediction shows that were on 1-2 Radio on the 15th of January, hosted by Jay Varvel, you know, those are all on 1-2 Radio. And so this is how you can find them. Now, there may be multiple ways to find them. I think if you go under different host name, you can probably find their particular contribution. But if you go to 1-2 Radio and click on the On Demand tab, then go to the host and click on Jay Varvel. And then under Jay, if you click, you'll find January 15th, and it'll say the prediction shows. Now, he's got 4 hours there stored under his name. And this includes predictions from, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 different hosts and 1-2 Listen advisors that contributed. So, you know, I was able to listen part of the day, but not all the day. So I'm still going to go back and try to pick up what I missed as well. But, you know, go there because, you know, everybody has a different perspective. We have all of our different lenses for looking at life and for understanding life. And none of them are right or wrong. It's just what they are. I mean, you know, we're all in this together trying to make sense of really some things that don't always make a lot of rational sense. But I love some of these tools. You know, I love astrology and tarot and I Ching and numerology and feng shui and the various tools that help me kind of get into my psyche or understand something from a different perspective. But as long as we're talking about that, because we're going to talk about oracles a lot today, I want to just keep insisting that, you know, the oracles aren't the magic. We're the magic. So whatever oracle or whatever, you know, tarot card deck or anything that you use, whether it's crystals and candles or channeling or whatever it is for understanding your life, you know, choose what appeals to you. Choose what will inspire you. Choose what makes you feel better about yourself. It doesn't have to make a lot of rational sense. Now, I know during the last 4 weeks, I mean, one of the things I wanted to start with too is I cannot tell you how many times I said to myself, ooh, remember to say that on radio. Put that in your notes. Don't forget that. Remember to say that. Remember to say that. Because, of course, things were going on. And, you know, I do have my rituals, my tools, my oracles. And fascinating stuff was coming up. And even though I was writing my article for the Power Peak, which was wonderful, I hope you stayed, you know, in touch with that. you know, I was still like, oh, don't forget. You've got to remember to tell him. And then, you know, if that kind of came together in a thread that made me realize that, you know, we don't have to be so rushed. You know, we don't have to be so rigid, or it's got to be this way. So one thing I know I want to do in 2024 is just trust the process a little bit more. And even if I make a few steps in that direction, just trusting it a little bit more, then, you know, I'm not going to miss my destiny, and neither are you. We are going to be in the right place at the right time. I mean, think how your life might be changed if you believed that. You're in the right place at the right time, even when it doesn't seem like it. And I know that surely one of the themes of my life is that detours have tended to provide those wonderful learning adventures. And more often than not, when I find myself on a detour, or I find myself on something, it's like, oh my God, this isn't how I planned this. It turns out to be more perfect, more appropriate, and often more satisfying than what I planned, what I thought was perfect. So there again, for me personally, it may or may not resonate with you. Personally, I'm trying to loosen my grip on having to have things go a certain way, look a certain way, be a certain way. You know, and just thinking definitively that I know what's right, what's wrong, and how things should be. Because you know what? I'm not right, you know? And some, like I said, those detours, they can be very fun. And what's maybe more important is that idea of I'm in the right place at the right time. You know, how would my life be different if I could choose, which I can, to be supportive of myself? And you can too. Can you just have your own back? Can you learn to laugh at the negative self-talk? I mean, you know, literally just find yourself getting into a dither, getting yourself into something, and just like take a step back and go, what the heck are you doing? And just kind of laugh at it. You know, for all the things that we forget in life, especially as we get older, could we forget to judge? Could we forget how to criticize? Maybe those are the things that we need to forget and just go, you know what? I don't do it very well. So I'm going to just stop doing that because I don't do it very well. I'm going to forget how to do those things. Now, along those lines, something I did want to remember to tell you is, you know, this is typical. You know, I think our lives have changed so much, you know, with COVID. And I know I do a lot of online shopping, you know, instead of going out, going to the stores. And the stores just don't have inventory. So, you know, all those stores, they always want your email. So, you know, I'm just on a gazillion lists, right? Well, every single day, you know, there really are just a gazillion emails coming in. Look at this, buy this, this is on sale, blah, blah, blah. But what I've noticed lately is a definite change in tone in some of those emails. And it has really surprised me because it's not just, hey, hurry, hurry, this is on sale. I've literally gotten a couple that said, the item you are watching is gone. You missed it. Now, obviously, you hear the tone in my voice. But, you know, it's like, what's their purpose? Is the underlying theme, you're a loser? I mean, what's that about? Is that supposed to make me feel better about coming to their site? And, you know, it just goes back to that whole thing in life. Would you rather be punished for doing what you think is the wrong thing? Or do you want to always be pulled forward? Do you want to be inspired? You know, and even when I'm in a conversation with somebody and I feel like, you know, they're saying something in a manipulative way, or they're trying to convince me that if I don't go along or if I don't do that, my life is going to be worse. And I'm just thinking, I don't want to live that way. I want to be inspired. I want to be pulled forward towards something. I don't want to be running away from something that is painful. And yet, let's face it, you know, that is what we do. So much of what we do is to avoid pain, to avoid humiliation, to avoid embarrassment, to avoid something that doesn't feel good. And so, like I said, I'm looking at those emails and I thought, you know, I don't remember ever getting emails like that before. And I don't know exactly how I feel about it, but I don't think it's a very good marketing tool myself. But it has given me something to really think about. You know, so whether it's a relationship or an email, it's like I'm going to choose those people, those companies, those things that are inspiring me forward and upward, not those ones who are kind of convincing me if you don't do this, you're going to be a loser. I mean, who needs that kind of information? So I'm like looking at those emails going, where is the unsubscribe button? That's what I'm doing. So as we look at 2024, maybe we are thinking about what do we want to unsubscribe from? There's probably a number of things. But, you know, as I look at 2024, I've described before, you know, I have different routines that I do. And one of my very favorite ones is matching up tarot with numerology. And so that's where we're going to spend a majority of our time today. I mentioned this in the Power Peak, not this year. Actually, I didn't do it this year, but I have many other times. And some of you, when I've worked with you individually, we've done it for you because we found what we call life cards by looking at your birthday and how, you know, what the numerology number is and then matching that to the tarot. So we're going to do that. But before we do it, I do want to go into some astrology because once again, you know, so many things are going on and I was thinking about so many things and I thought, oh, I just want to make sure we talk about this. And some things, obviously, we approach them at first like an onion and then we start peeling away the layers. So what I'm going to talk about right now, we're not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but I want you to put it in perspective. So here I am. I'm an astrologer. I'm looking at 2024. And, you know, there again, I kind of pull a thread and see where things start taking me. So some of the things I want you to know about 2024 that, you know, just keep them in perspective. And you know, we go from the whole and then maybe we start looking at all the little pieces. But one thing that's really important is that last Saturday, which was the 20th of January, both the Sun and Pluto entered Aquarius. Now, I think it's very auspicious that they did it within hours of each other. Now, of course, the Sun, it's going to do a new 30-day cycle every single month, right? So we're now in the season of Aquarius, or with the Sun in Aquarius. But Pluto, on the other hand, has been moving back and forth through the last few degrees of Capricorn and the first couple of degrees of Aquarius for the last year, because this happens, you know, what we're talking about going back and forth is I'm really talking about the optical illusion that we call retrograde. But Pluto is what we call an outer planet, one of those planets that's really far away from the Sun. So because of that, now we're talking astronomy, from our perspective on Earth, it looks like Pluto's barely moving. It looks like Pluto is moving so incredibly slowly. So I know, I try to tell you, even though I talk about a planet moving slowly, that's not really accurate. It's the way it looks. It looks like it moves slowly. And indeed, Pluto takes anywhere from 12 to 20-something years to go through a sign. So see, that Sun, it'll go through Aquarius in 30 days. Pluto, it's going to be there through 2044, 20 years. And however, you know, once again, I want to be a little more factual. It has been moving back and forth because of retrogrades. And it's in Aquarius now, but for about 6 weeks, it is going to move back into Capricorn, into that last degree. On the 1st of September of this year, it is going to retrograde back into Capricorn, but only 29 degrees. So there again, if you've got something at 29 degrees in your chart, a planet, or especially if it's 29 Capricorn, pay attention because it's not quite finished with that transformational process. But then when it goes direct and goes back into Aquarius, which is going to happen on November 19th of this year, well, that's when it's going to be there through January of 2044. So then we know Pluto has finally made its move. So I'm setting the stage here. Pluto is in Aquarius most of 2024, but not quite. You know, not quite. So it is finishing a cycle in Capricorn, a very important long-term cycle in Capricorn. Now, this is important because of the next couple of things that I'm going to tell you. Now, we're not going to do this deep dive into Pluto today, you know, or Aquarius. We're going to continue to talk about those. But know that Aquarius is, you know, the rebel of the zodiac, and Pluto's the transformer. Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, and Uranus is the planet that resonates within us that says, I want to move past limitations. I want to shatter restrictions. I want to color outside the lines, basically. And it works on a personal level as well as a community level and a global level. But I also wanted to mention Uranus today because it's in the news for another reason. And that is because it finishes its annual retrograde pattern, which started in August. So some of these planets, the ones that we call outer planets far from the sun, their retrogrades are long term. They're months, 4 or 5 months at a time. It finishes that retrograde this week on Friday night, January 26th. It's going to move direct. But that's important for another reason too. That means we are going to be in a retrograde free zone for several months. We're not going to have any planets retrograde for the next few months, not until Mercury retrogrades on April 1st. And in fact, it's funny, I put that in the Power Peak this week. And by the way, I assume you know what the Power Peak is, but if you don't, it's called Mark's Power Peak. And it is a free newsletter that you can subscribe to. If you don't already, go to 12listen.com and you'll see a link to subscribe to that. So, and there's wonderful articles in it written by many of my colleagues, but I write an article in which I tell you, you know, every single day what's happening with the moon, what's happening with the planets. But anyway, Kat said, I read the Power Peak, and are you joking? Is that an April 1st joke? And I said, no, it's really true. We're in a retrograde-free zone until April 1st when Mercury retrogrades. So I know many of you are like, woohoo! Now, you know how I feel. I think the retrogrades are really helpful, but it's also fun to just think we're actually in a few month, you know, time period where there are none. So if that means something to you, then really celebrate and, you know, go for the gusto, because that's what's going on. So as we look at this year, there's lots of stuff going on, but I want to talk about something else before we get into that actually numerology and tarot, because, you know, that Pluto wrapped up. That was my foundation. Pluto is wrapping up that transit. But you know what else? As I started looking forward, there are three other outer planets that actually wrap up their cycles in 2024. And so when I saw that, I thought, oh, now that really colors the tone of 2024 and what we think is going on. So as we look forward to 2025, you know, a year from now, well, in March of 2025, Neptune is going to leave Pisces and move into Aries. Now, Neptune's cycle is 14 to 15 years in each sign. So think about that. You don't give or take, and having a few retrogrades. So this is a big change. It's been there for more than a decade. Now, unfortunately, I didn't look up the date that Neptune actually went into Pisces. But see, we've had more than a decade of Neptune in Pisces. And in 2025, that's going to change. That's big time. In July of 2025, Uranus, another outer planet, it's going to leave Taurus and move into Gemini. Now, its cycle is usually somewhere between 7 and 8 years. So once again, another long-term cycle. Now, for those of you who follow astrology, you know, like Mercury changes signs sometimes, you know, every 15 to 21 days or so. Venus changes signs about once a month. Mars changes signs about every 6 weeks. Jupiter changes signs about once a year. So when we start talking about these planets that have cycles of 15 years or 8 years, we're talking about long-term patterns. And so far in 2025, we're going to go into 2025 with Pluto basically in Aquarius, in a new sign. And in March, Neptune's going to be in a new sign. In July, Uranus is going to be in a new sign. And guess what? in May, I should have rearranged this order. In May, Saturn, is going to go into a new sign in 2025. So once again, I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh my gosh, every outer planet, which usually we call the outer planets Saturn and beyond, all of them are basically starting new cycles in 2025. You know, give or take with Pluto, because it's going to actually be there in, December 2024. But see, in my mind, this is like a big thing. We're not just changing one thing. We're not just renovating the kitchen. We're renovating almost the whole house. We're renovating this huge foundation of outer planets that do resonate with us personally, but also so much with the world. And so that automatically made me think, okay, well then in 2024, what are we doing? What are we doing to wrap up all these cycles? And if I really love Neptune and Pisces, are there things that I feel like it has really given me an invitation to that I haven't answered the call? Same thing with Uranus and Taurus and Saturn and Pisces. It's like, am I going to be ready to have all those things finished up? Now, of course, what you hear in my voice is, okay, CA, wait a minute. You said you were going to be okay with the process. You were going to relax into that process. But I just want you to think about those things. And another just little teaser here quickly. Mars retrogrades every 2.5 years. So that puts it in a category sort of with Venus, because those outer planets retrograde every single year. Mercury retrogrades, every 4 months. But Mars and Venus don't. Mars retrogrades about every 2.5 years. So what do you think is going to happen in December of 2024? Mars is going to retrograde. And it's going to take us with that retrograde into 2025. And it'll be retrograde until February 23rd. And by the way, because that cycle is about 2.5 years, that's the same cycle as Saturn takes to go through a sign. So that's like a little shortcut. If you see Saturn changing signs, somewhere near there is going to be Mars moving retrograde. And that's exactly what we've got. So once again, I look collectively. I don't know exactly what this whole picture looks like. But I honestly don't remember a time or a year or, like a 6-month period or so where the four outer planets all change signs. Now, I'm not going to say it hasn't happened in my lifetime. I'm not going to say that. But I just don't remember it. And it certainly is getting my attention. So once again, I also want to insist that I'm not saying that we shouldn't start anything new or that we shouldn't lay any new foundations. In fact, maybe I'm saying the opposite, because if we want to take full advantage of Uranus and Taurus, Saturn and Pisces, Neptune and Pisces, well, then we better be doing it in 2024, because that's our chance. Same thing with Pluto. You like Pluto in Capricorn? Well, you're going to have a couple, 6 weeks or so in the fall to really have that energy again. And then it's gone, at least for your lifetime. Unless you live to be 250 years, right? So I think this is intriguing ideas for 2024, because what does it mean? What do we do with that energy? And we're looking at significant, profound change in 2025. So where does that put us in 2024? What do we want to be ready for? And like I said, maybe that does mean laying some new foundations, being ready for that kind of change. Because I'm not one that really sometimes I will say, okay, enough already, Pluto. I'm so tired of you being in Capricorn. I know I say that. But for the most part, I'm a firm believer wherever we are right now, we better appreciate it. We better milk it for all it's worth, squeeze all that juice out of the lemon or the orange or whatever, because it's there for a purpose, or at least it can be there as a helpful thing to us, So let's appreciate it instead of continually looking forward to when it's not going to be there. What do we do in 2024 with this energy that we still have, knowing that these are the last golden days of these planets being in these signs, at least for right now, right? Okay, now, as promised, I am going to go into this process of how you match the numerology with the Tarot. And it really is pretty simple. And I even said to myself, we can get lost in the math, and I don't want to do that. But it's as simple as, and many of you have done numerology. You know that process. So, like, for instance, you'll take your birthday, and you will add all the digits singly across. But in this case, we are taking the year. 2 + 2 + 4 = 8. So we are in an 8 year. Well, to match it with the Tarot, you go to the 22 archetypes that are in Tarot. And by the way, they go from 0 to 21. The Fool is an archetype, but it's 0. But we're not even going to go into that this year. I count it as number 22, truthfully, as both 0 and 22. But we're in an 8 year. So if we look for the number 8 card in the major arcana in the Tarot, what I like to call the archetypes, that is, well, and here again, I'm going to backtrack. It's a little tricky. And, you know, of course, that's the way it is sometimes. The one is always the magician and the two is the high priestess. But this is why it's a little tricky with the number 8, is that traditionally in the Tarot, the 8th card was justice. Sometimes some, you know, decks will call it balance, but it's justice. But at some point, I think it was the creators of the Rider-Waite deck, they switched the positions of the justice card, the number 8, with the strength card, which was number 11. Now, they did it because they thought there was metaphysical principles that would suggest that made more sense, or that it made more sense with astrology. But there again, that is not my expertise. So in fact, the next time Moab Dolbaki is on the show, which should be not too long from now, a few weeks from now, hopefully maybe that's one of the things we can ask him, is how did those get switched? But just know for right now, they got switched. So if you're a person that does Tarot and you've been confused, you can always look it up. But like, I own about 24 Tarot decks. And in my decks, some of them, the 8 is justice, or it's called balance. And in some decks, the 8 card is the strength card. And, you know, I mean, I've known this for a long time, and I just go with whatever deck that I'm working with. But it is true. And like I said, I probably have at least 24 decks. And they're all, I mean, they go in one camp or the other. They're, you know, I'm not going to say they're 50-50, but it seems like, it's just whatever that author subscribes to. So that does leave us with a dilemma. If we want to say this is an 8 year, are we going to look at the strength card, or are we going to look at the justice card? Now, I don't think we can go wrong. I really mean that. Remember what I said. I think we're in the right place at the right time. I don't think we're going to go wrong. But personally, I'm leaning into the strength card. But I also know there are going to be multiple examples and demonstrations this year that feel like they're going to pull my consciousness to, ooh, that's the justice card. That's what's going on. The scales are balancing this year. So I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm totally obliterating that. But, for the time being, I'm going with strength. And for the purpose of this show, for the purpose of what we're talking about today, this discussion, I'm going with strength. Now, the reason I'm going that way is because it feels more consistent to me with the astrology that's coming up. You know, everything that we're talking about, where we are in 24, what I see coming up in 25, I feel like this is a time of inner work, inner discipline, inner strength, which is what the card is really about. And the other reason I chose it, or that I'm talking about it today as kind of an icon, as a guiding principle for 2024, is because it keeps coming up. I work with the cards every single day. And in my weekly spreads, which I always do a weekly spread, and I use anywhere between 7 and 10 different decks. Now, I'll choose one, maybe two cards from each of the decks. Or if it just happens to be that like two cards are coming out together, I'll take two cards. But it's been amazing to me in every single spread since the beginning of the year, since the first, the strength card has come up once, twice, or three times. Because like I said, I'm using 7 to 10 different decks. So in some spreads, I've got the strength card from three different decks. So I feel like for me personally, you know, and there again, you're listening. So you're either going to resonate or you're not. You know, these aren't mistakes. But for me, I keep going, okay, there's the strength card. There's the strength card. So that's why I'm leaning into that. And I mean, it is funny too, because I actually then also pulled, okay, what do I need to know about 2024? And I chose two of my favorite decks. And I chose a couple cards from each one. And what do you think happened? The strength card came up in both decks. So of the four cards that I chose, the strength card was in there twice. So, you know, to me, it's like maybe you have to hit me over the head to say, hey, this is it. But I want to talk about strength this year, or at least I want to think about what it means. So there again, if you're a tarot person, or even if you're not, you could do a little research into the tarot. What is the meaning of the strength card? And there again, you know, there are so many different writers or so many different decks. Well, everybody has their own idea about what it means, but there are some kind of centralized themes that you will find for each of the cards. And, you know, that's what I'd like you to think about. Or, like I said, maybe use it as a guiding principle. Now, if it doesn't resonate with you, then don't use it. But let's talk about what that means. And here again, I'm borrowing from a lot of other people, you know, to get these ideas. I didn't make up the tarot deck. And I'm a learner. I mean, that's who I am. I gather information and then I become a clearinghouse for that information. So what I'm going to be sharing with you today, a lot of it is from James Wanless, the developer of the Voyager Tarot. I just want to say that right off. He has been a great influence on my life, especially in the early years learning tarot, like in the 90s. And so, you know, you never get away from sometimes, you know, your childhood, so to speak. And so he's been a great influence on me, and I consider him an incredibly positive influence, you know, in all of his teachings. So a lot of what I'm going to share, it's his stuff. I didn't make this up. It's not my words. A lot of it is his. But I'm also borrowing from other people like Barbara Moore, who I really like the way she talks about the tarot. I'm also borrowing, in fact, I'm going to give you a quote from Kim Hudgens, who is the writer of the companion book that goes along with the Tarot Illuminati. So in fact, we're going to start with that. Kim Hudgens says, strength is not in the sword and in the arm, but in patience and kindness. So let's talk about this. The most common image that we often see on the strength card is a maiden. And I say that because it's usually a young woman. Now, not always, but this is a typical thing that you'll see. You'll see a maiden or an innocent of some sort with a lion. And here again, the stories are multiple. One of the stories is that here is the maiden in the forest, and she comes across the lion, and the lion, of course, is ferocious. He's a wild animal. You know, this is something we could be very scared of. And he's gotten a thorn stuck in his paw. So does the maiden come along? Does she run away? What does she do? Does she attack the lion? Does she take the risk of showing empathy, showing compassion, and helping the lion, and just hoping that then it's not going to eat her? But another image that we have of this is, and it's usually similar kind of pictures too, but in another story, it's a knight that comes along and saves her from the ferocious beast. You know, somebody else comes along and does this. But the theme that runs throughout the strength card is often a theme of duality. Higher self versus the animal instinctual self. And so you'll find that there's definitely a duality that comes up. How do we embrace, how do we identify, and how do we embrace the different parts of ourselves? And I think of it, you know, there's so many images that come to mind. One of them is certainly the chain is only as strong as the weakest link. Or the weakest link, I should say, not link. So the part of ourselves that we spend all this time denying or hiding or being ashamed of, it's taking a disproportionate amount of our energy and our time. You know, so how do we treat this natural duality that basically we find all over the world? And we certainly find it within ourselves. You know, we love ourselves, we hate ourselves. Or we think we've got all these incredible qualities, and then a weakness comes up and we're just, it just blows us away. It just takes us down. Almost like, you know, a hot air balloon or one of those, you know, Santa Clauses or, you know, things that people put on their lawn at Christmas time, and they're full of air and they're whatever. And then it takes one little puncture and psh, there we go. So we're always living with this duality. And sometimes we do consider it the material versus the spiritual. You know, if you're a psychologist, you may look at the ego and the superego versus the id. You know, all those, that untamed nature that we all know is within ourselves. Now, we may do a lot to hide it. You know, we wear certain clothes or our hair. We give this presentation in astrology. We call it the mask, the rising sign. We do everything possible to kind of create a presentation of ourselves. But somewhere, we all would have to admit, we've got this loud, dangerous part of ourselves versus the quiet, calming, spiritual wisdom that's also there. And, you know, there again, sometimes with the strength card, when you're looking at the woman or the maiden or the innocent, whatever you want to call it, there's this sense of, you know, like she might be stroking the lion's head. She might have her hand on the lion's and we're like, you know, reaching out in understanding and in compassion. And you can almost, you know, see it within ourselves. Sometimes we're just like in an uproar. You know, it's that loud, like I said, you know, just that very instinctual part of ourselves. And we even among ourselves say, I just want to quiet. I just want to know, you know, how to quiet myself down. In fact, you know, when you think about it, you know, with very small babies, I know, you know, I used to hear this. I don't know if people say this anymore. I know it's always been somewhat controversial. Do you let a baby, you know, cry itself to sleep? And of course, you know, I don't even want to go into all the parenting things. But part of the idea is, do you have the ability, like even right now, if you wake up in the middle of the night, do you know how to put yourself back to sleep? Do you know how to quiet that mind that is so raucous? Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to be both the lion and the maiden? Do you know how to do that? So strength is about self-understanding. It's about learning who we are. It's about self-control and courage and compassion. And somewhere I read, and I don't even remember now who exactly said this, it's the wisdom that comes from lived experience. You know, once we take those lessons, all those things that have gone on for us, that lived experience is what strength becomes. And so now I am going to, you know, share some very specific things with you about, you know, what James Wanless has said. And like I said, a lot of these are his words, not all of them, but many of them. So what he talks about, and by the way, he does use strength as the 11th card, but he says, strength is about rulership and control. It's the law of self-dominion. So once again, being in control of yourself. Now notice, this isn't being in control of the world. It's not being in control of all your circumstances. It's being in control of yourself, having dominion over yourself. And this, I'm going to read a couple of things that he writes here again, James Wanless, that I think these words, they ought to be embroidered somewhere, you know, like I tattoo them on my head or something. He says, strength is the full and free, but controlled expression of mind, heart, body, and spirit in yin and yang forms. Strength is total living. But now here's one of my favorites. Strength is living in full accord with the undiluted multiplicity of your being. Now I'm going to say that one more time. Living in full accord with the undiluted multiplicity of your being. This is not about denying who you are. This is not even taking what you consider to be weaknesses or something that you don't like about yourself and totally denying it, hiding it. It's about living in full accord with the undiluted multiplicity. I mean, don't you just love that? I mean, maybe it's just me, but how often do I think I need to tone down my personality? I mean, I literally say that to myself. You need to tone your personality down because people won't like you if you're totally you. That is a theme that has certainly run through my head. And so I'm guessing that I'm not the only person that feels that. So being able to live in full accord with the undiluted multiplicity of who we are, how powerful is that? How much courage does that take? That strength, being able to do that without defensiveness. Now, a couple of things he suggested, I think these are good ideas, is connecting with a power animal. You know, we all like to, you know, in some ways we have our favorite crystal or we have, you know, different things. Well, connecting with a favorite power animal may be one way that we find that self-identity and that self-acceptance. Say, this is what I like, and own it. We don't have to be embarrassed. We don't have to, you know, be defensive about what we love and why. Just own it. But having a power animal. He also suggests find your power spot. Know the places that you feel like you draw strength and inspiration from. And see, this goes right back to those emails. You know, are you hanging out with people? Are you in places? Do you know where you feel really connected? A place that really does give you strength and inspiration. Like, you know, there's kind of general agreement, like places like Sedona, you know, people talk about them as being power spots. Well, they are gorgeous. And I'm not saying they are or they aren't. But you realize we've made Sedona a power spot. We've decided that by interpretation. And we can decide the same thing individually or collectively about any number of other things in life. Or places. So where do you feel the power? You know that if you ask yourself, where do you feel the power? And it doesn't always have to be someplace exotic or someplace that you can't get to, right? Maybe it's a room in your house. Maybe it's a place in your yard. Maybe it's some local place, a rock, you know, a stream, or, you know, just the park, the grass, whatever it is. Where is your power spot? So he suggests that. Know what your power spot is. Those places that are going to be inspirational. Or what are those routines that give you inspiration? You know? Or what is it that kind of takes you back to yourself? So he talks about taming and channeling our power. Now, taming is a word that we often see with the strength card, by the way. And taming, I think, because we're, again, it's a wild animal. And, you know, it's like that's how we see this part of ourselves. A wild animal, the wild part of ourselves that we have to figure out what to do with. But there's a big difference between taming, accepting it, letting it be what it is, but also controlling it. You know, that's what's going on here. Controlling it, channeling it to our benefit and to maybe the benefit of other people, right? So some of the images too that of course always come up with a strength card is certainly that lion, very possibly the sign Leo, you know, and the idea of innocence, a maiden, and how do they all fit together, right? So here are some of the things that James Wellness says. Hold your ideas strongly. Think boldly. Express your feelings. Follow your instincts. Fulfill animal appetites and desires. Build, construct. Use your sense of self to establish your territory and act majestically. Build for the future. Build for longevity. Now, I love this one. Give yourself permission. Now, he didn't actually say that, but it's the interpretation of so many things he says. Give yourself permission. Accept yourself. Be yourself. Control yourself. Be courageous, creative, dignified, and outrageous. Be enigmatic. Now, I want to emphasize once again, as we think about some of these concepts and some of these words, you know, the lion, that part of ourselves that's out of control, you know, and we've all either been there or we've seen it happen. Like, even think about a small child just absolutely throwing a fit, right? Well, as adults, if we're absolutely throwing a fit, you know, during a staff meeting, or absolutely throwing a fit in public or in, you know, a family gathering, maybe that's what has to happen, or maybe it's just inappropriate. So, you know, we walk that fine line, that tightrope between, like I said, that undiluted multiplicity of our being, but it means taking responsibility. So if we really want to channel our energy, if we want to manifest things, then we have to be aware of that. It's not just about, I'm going to do every single thing I want to do in the moment that I want to do it. You know, we are both the lion and the maiden. We're the combination of how those things come together in empathy and compassion, and they're cooperative with each other. So see, we grab on to many of these phrases, but understanding that it's not just, I'm going to do exactly what I want every single moment, exactly as I want to do it, not, you know, without any thought. You know, now, if we were in like what A Course in Miracles calls the right mind, then we probably could just go from moment to moment to moment, knowing that however our energy channels is exactly the right way. But of course, what ends up happening is we get into the ego, we get into that lower self or the wildness, and we need to learn to channel it and to tame it, not to eradicate it, but to understand it. See, there again, this is all about self-understanding, self-dominion. So accept yourself, be yourself, control yourself, exercise your power and your influence. And it's time, you know, James also talks about it's time to break out of the egg, to move past limitations. Now, and he literally says that. So I think, once again, that sounds so in sync with the kind of energy that we have this year with the Aquarius Pluto. Break out, move past limitations. You know, those shoulds and coulds and whatever they are. You must, you have to, you know. So have an impact. You can, and remember that you can always make others feel great, or you can make them feel small, or at least that can be your intention. We actually can't make anybody else feel any of those things. We do it for ourselves. But remembering that in spite of our fragility, those times that we feel very, very vulnerable, we are strong. Those two things stand out together. You know, they stand together in cooperation. So don't be afraid, speaking of standing out, don't be afraid to stand out. Be colorful, be noticed. Now that sounds very Leo, doesn't it? The world is your stage, so be able to play a variety of roles. You know, and at the same time, order your life and structure your dreams. Now that line always kind of catches my attention, because going back to Aquarius, the traditional ruler of Aquarius was not Uranus, because we didn't know about Uranus before the telescope was invented. So in traditional astrology, Saturn was the ruler of Aquarius. And in some ways that seems like, what? But that's it. We order our lives and structure our dreams. We can be the outrageousness that shatters the limitations. But we also have to structure in some way or another our actions, or we create nothing but chaos. So see, once again, that's how, to me, these threads all start coming together. But as we think about this, you know, once again, I'd encourage you, this isn't about being a show-off. It's not about being vain. It's not about being that lion that's headstrong to the point of being territorial or inflexible and rigid and dogmatic. It's about knowing who you are and channeling the energy. You know, how do you be proud of who you are and what you're doing without just going overboard? You know, the vanity thing. So strength means being yourself, being authentic, following and expressing your own feelings and desires and passions and beliefs and instincts. Uncensored self-observation. Now that too, that is so huge. Being the neutral observer. Being non-judgmental in your self-awareness. You know, and James even says, the light but controlling hand that you have on yourself. So being yourself means knowing yourself. And to know yourself, be an animal. Do what comes naturally. Do it without engaging in self-doubt, but also being self-aware, uncensored, and spontaneous. That's what strength is. So anyway, those are some ideas. And of course, there's a whole lot more going along there. And I think also that we can explore. In fact, next week, we may go into a little bit more because I have some more material I wanted to encourage you. One thing, once again, that I love to do, I love to look at how our birthdays translate into though or connect to those archetypes. And you realize also the sun signs, the zodiac signs all have tarot cards that they correlate to. And if you can just see that as, oh, those are some of my life guiding principles. Those are the things that I can kind of come back to time, you know, and just go, yeah, how is this working for me? And I'll tell you, I've done that for years, kind of worked with people in terms of knowing their archetypes in the tarot. And we're all of those cards, by the way. Every single archetype, every single one of the 78 tarot cards is somewhere in our life. But if we resonate in a very strong way to one or two of them, I think it's really helpful to just kind of look at that. And sometimes when we do feel a little lost, then we can come back to that. So we'll do that maybe next week. And I also want to say, hey, thank you for coming into the chat room. Thanks to everybody, to Leslie and Renee and Evelyn and Quelly and James. Always good to see you. And Carrie and Tara and Chris. Oh my gosh, there's so many. Sorry I have not taken the time to really do justice to your comments. But Anne, thank you for yours, and Patricia and Pamela and Chris. Everybody, thank you so much for joining me. It is great to be back. And I know that this is, it feels often like a one-sided discussion, but I feel your presence. And I just want to say thank you so much. It's great to be back. If you want to talk a little bit more about this, you can always find me on 12listen.com. And here again, kind of talking about those archetypes and understanding them is really fun, entertaining, and it's also very, quite the revelation, I think, when we understand those things about ourselves. So if you want to talk about those, find me on 12listen.com. And if you look and I'm not showing up, you know, just send me a quick note, because sometimes I can just get on really quickly. You know, sometimes I'm just out in the yard with Tucker, giving him a little break, you know? So everybody, thanks a lot. I am so appreciative for this opportunity and for being with you here today. I want to wish you an incredible 2024. Let's not get through it too quickly and on to 2025, but just be aware of what's going on. So thanks to everybody. Thanks to our producer, Jay Varvel. Please check out all of those prediction shows on 12radio.com and stay tuned, because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. And I believe she is back live today too. So this is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we inspire ourselves.